Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Yeah, I'm live for the eighth time here with the Adventures of Live Radio. I want to introduce my first guest, Dr. Nicole Rakowski, PhD. She's a sports medicine writer, a multiple TEDx speaker, competitive bodybuilder. Then Nathan Crane will be joining me, a somatic emotional healing coach, author, and filmmaker. Nicole Rakowski, are you with me on the Sports Doctor?
I am here, Bob. Thank you so much for having me. I am beyond excited to be on this podcast today and answer any questions that you may have.
Really? Where are you, by the way, dear?
So I'm currently situated in Antigua, which is the beautiful Caribbean island just south of Miami. If anyone ever has the chance to go, they're highly recommended, but originally from Toronto, born and raised.
Okay. All right. Well, we do a lot of stuff in Canada. Nicole, give us some background on yourself. Your main intersection of performance science, medicine, and public health. Give us some background.
Absolutely. And I think you did a great job introducing me, so I won't, you know, go into too much detail there. But as you did mention, so I am an IFBB pro professional bodybuilding athlete. I do have a PhD in health management, top 40 under 40 when it comes to the New York City Journal honoree, two-time TEDx speaker. And really a lot of the work that I do is in performance and longevity education. So I've been featured internationally, and you know, my audience really comes to me for guidance around body composition, peptides, men's health, optimization, recovery, confidence, and transformation. And, you know, I think very much in the current market, there's many men and women that are just overwhelmed, they're confused, and they're not really sure how some of that
translates. My colleague from the 70s, the late great sports therapist Bob Guider, was a Mr. America, Mr. Universe, and he worked with posing and bodybuilders, gosh, for decades, where we would see some of our best athletes. And today, this is big business, is the world of anti-aging and functional health. It's all good news. I laugh, you know, biohacking. I've been talking about this stuff for 40 years. We called it complementary and alternative medicine. But it's great to see that there's been so much interest in these areas. And, of course, in the highest level of sports and sports medicine, all of these areas are a big deal. Talk a little bit about, again, this whole area of high performance, whether it's in business or in sports.
Absolutely. And those are all some great questions. I mean, you know, you sort of mentioned it yourself, like this has been around for a very long time when we talk about the world of anti-aging. And you know, biohacking can mean many different things to many different people. There's, you know, like you mentioned, the complementary or alternative medicine. And to me, like in my experience, you know, the world of anti-aging and biohacking is exploding right now because people are realizing that traditional healthcare has been very good at, you know, treating disease, but not always great at helping people optimize, you know, how it is that they really feel, perform, age, recover, and just live day to day. So that's where this whole space gets really interesting because
I call it the new medicine. I call it the new medicine, which is very simple. Number one, eat smarter. And we'll do five shows on that, nutrition. Number two is keep moving. Maybe we'll do 10 shows on that with the options. Number three is a big one, which is reduce stress. So this is, again, the attention to lifestyle medicine. Now, when it was called alternative, it was always a contest. You know, Eastern medicine, Western medicine. And then all of a sudden they came up with the term complementary, which made everybody a little bit happier, again, because our healthcare system in so many ways, again, is sickness medicine. It's got nothing to do with prevention. You know, a couple of months ago from the Netherlands, I had on a Tao therapist, and he was talking about 2,500-year-old principles, Dr. Nicole, like simplicity and compassion and how it was as important today as it was 2,500 years ago. So I think we're learning. You know, we have the obesity crisis. We have these crises with teenagers. you know, when we talk about the social media. So,
that's a huge area.
How do you think we're doing? Yes. How do you think we're doing with the interaction of medicine and all of these new ideas that you talk about all the time? How are we doing?
So, you know, I actually like the term complementary more than alternative. And, you know, when we say alternative medicine, it can sound like we're replacing conventional medicine or rejecting,
yes,
right?
And
I don't think that's necessarily the right framing, because there are times where conventional medicine is absolutely necessary, right? Like if you have cancer, trauma, diabetes, you need medicine, you need diagnostics. But complementary medicine asks a different question.
The United States is one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other, that allows prescription medicines on television. So you can't watch for 5 minutes without more prescriptions and more prescriptions. The pharmacy is fabulous. But again, we've way overdone it. What's the best website people can find out about you and your work, Nicole?
So right now, actually, I do a lot of my education through Instagram. And so at Dr. Nicole Rakowski, I encourage you to send me a message, check out some of my content. We're building out a whole different website when it comes to longevity, improving metabolic health. So if people follow me on Instagram, which is my main social platform, they'll be able to get a whole slew of information. Send me a message specifically. But I just want to mention that when we talk about complementary medicine, it asks a different question. What can we add around that to improve health, right? When we talk about resilience, prevention, and quality of life, because that's where lifestyle medicine becomes so powerful, right? You mentioned eating smarter, keep moving, reducing stress, sleeping better, you know, getting sunlight, have a community. It's about, you know, these sound like basics, but they're not small. They are the foundation that determines how well the body functions.
Between the pandemic and social media, the pressure on everybody is times 10. Now, that's before we mentioned the word politics, you know? There's so much tension. There's so much anxiety going on. And this is why we're trying to get a handle on this, again, by adding a lot of these very, very important interactions, you know, like you said, like, you know, performance science, medicine, and public health. Because, again, organizations, I'm very involved with type 2 diabetes. You know, we've got a plague of one of every three seniors are diabetic. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
With the problems with obesity. I spoke about childhood obesity, Nicole, 30 years ago.
Yes.
And we're still swimming with childhood obesity. So, again, I think bringing attention to these things are so important. What were the topics of your TEDx talks?
Yes. And just before I get into that, you know, I want to mention that approximately 5% of users of the healthcare system, like the top 5% users, use approximately 75% of our resources, right? And those are the ones with complex chronic conditions, which is crazy. And, you know, the United States, you know, it really amplifies everything. And again, we're not going to get into the politics, I'm sure, but that's when health became, you know, ideological. Now, my TEDx talk, it talks about different areas. One of the most powerful things is resilience and me overcoming a very traumatic accident that I had back in 2017, where two of my good friends and I traveled to Iceland, you know, one of the most beautiful countries in the world. But by complete fluke accident, I actually stepped into somewhere where the ground broke way underneath me and I started sinking. And where I started thinking, it was actually a geothermal vent that was heating the entire mountain's heat source, essentially. So I ended up with second and third degree burns.
Again, resilience became, that's another magic word. Resilience became very, very important for you to deal with, overcome these kinds of situations.
Second and third degree burns.
Yes. And again, you know, we see it, you know, with the great news about the mental game. When you had superstars like Simone Biles and Michael Phelps come out and admit over the Olympics that mental problems they were dealing with, because, again, it was such a taboo over the years in sports medicine. When you mentioned the word psychology, people said, what do you think? There's something wrong with me. You know, and that whole kind of education necessary to let people know that it was okay to pay big attention. We pay a lot of attention to the mental game on the sports doctor, again, whether we're dealing with world-class athletes or their grandmothers or their kids.
Right. youth sports. And you know,
things we
this
need
is
to
a
listen,
whole...
right?
Absolutely. And, you know, overcoming, you know, some of these resilience and some of these topics, like mental health is a big part of the conversation that we can't ignore. When we talk about, you know, there's social media becoming the place that people went to look for answers, but it's also now a place where people are constantly
wild
comparing
west.
To catastrophizing
the wild west. Yes.
And they're being sold solutions.
Yes. One of the great contributors to my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Dr. McDermott, who was a holistic psychiatrist 10 years ago, was talking about on the radio, longer than that ago, about this social media and what it was going to mean in the challenges, not only with teens, but with all sorts of parts of the population. And I think she couldn't have been righter when we're talking about, you know, doctors had to be accessible and carry pagers or phones years ago. But if you weren't a doctor, you weren't accessible every 2 minutes. Let alone all this misinformation. And I think this is before AI gets involved, when you have to, you know, you have to worry about who can you believe and who do you have to pay attention to is a big topic, isn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, we can say who it is that we want to believe. And it's sometimes it's all about communication and how information is actually conveyed, right? Because you can essentially be selling a bag of nothing, but it's the way that something is now communicated to us and how it is that it's actually sold. So I think that, you know, people are becoming geniuses with social media, with AI, but it is taking over our lives in many different respects. And as you said, you know, we truly are living in the Wild West when it comes to many of these topics.
You know, speaking about competitive bodybuilding, I think I was a member of the group that was deciding one of these contests 100 years ago with Bob Guida. And, you know, the women's bodybuilding was an athlete. She might be a model. In no way, shape, or form did she realize in so many ways the development of musculature and whatever in women's bodybuilding is a whole new world today. That's got to be a real adventure.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, that's where a lot of people get overwhelmed. Like, for example, one person says that they're taking this peptide. Another says that they never take it, you know, and another says anything outside controversial medicine or conventional medicine is nonsense. But the truth is usually more nuanced, right? Like when we talk about doctors, we need evidence, we need science, but we also need lifestyle prevention and people feeling like they have agency over their own health, right? And I keep coming back to this idea of the Wild West, because that also means that there's opportunity for us, right? Like the next era of health, it needs better translators. It needs people who can say, you know, this is promising, this is proven, this is what's risky, this is the hype.
We have to get these situations into the school system, the earlier the better. In 2008, I wrote an article called Let's Get Them Walking. I wanted all the schools at all ages to include walking as part of being consistently active, as part of the curriculum. But, you know, good luck in getting things changed in school districts and communities. But when I speak with experts, again, like yourself, with a lot of these different topics, I always have to ask you how your sports psychology skills are, Nicole.
Yeah, exactly.
With parents, you know, and coaches and the athletes, how's the sports psychology going?
Well, you know what? I think it's, you know, I was saying to my husband the other day, like when I was growing up and I broke my wrist playing soccer, I had to finish the game, you know, like that was the way that I grew up. Whereas now there's such a different mentality when it comes to the school system. A lot of kids can now get doctor's notes and they don't have to participate in gym class, right? They don't need to be active. And I think that is why, you know, health literacy also needs to be added into the health systems, because we can teach kids math, science, history, literature.
That's where the world of type 2, you know, type 2 juvenile diabetes used to be called 20 years ago, adult onset diabetes. And then there was such an explosion of kids. And this is why, you know, by the time kids are in junior high school, sports teams are like 1 out of 50. So we've got to get, like you mentioned, the point across that the physical activity, the earlier the better with smart nutrition, we can stop this scourge of juvenile diabetes, because it has just become unbelievably common. And again, our system, we look at, hey, let's treat it with more drugs. Let's treat it with more drugs instead of paying attention to these kinds of This is why we give a shout out to our friends at the That One Group, where we're talking about some of these different podcasters and brand individuals talking about, again, health and wellness and lifestyle medicine, and trying to keep this front and center, as well as in the senior and super senior population.
Yes. And imagine if the school system taught, like, how to eat smarter, how to move daily, how to manage stress, how to build resilience, like how to spot misinformation, and how do you ask better questions? Like, that could change lives, because prevention doesn't start when you're 45 years old, when the blood work is bad, right? Like, it starts when a young person learns that their body is not just something to judge in the mirror. It is something to understand, to protect, and build.
Yes.
I have
teenagers reaching out to me.
Nicole,
you're on our grouping to get back and keep everybody well educated. Again, people could find out more about you, Dr. Nicole Rakowski, on Instagram. So thank
Correct.
You so much for joining us. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor, live. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey everybody, Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We're running a little late with some snafus when we're international, but I want to welcome Nathan Crane. He's a somatic emotional healing coach, author, and documentary filmmaker. Everybody who listens to the Sports Doctor knows what a big deal we make out of the mental game, whether you're a world champion or a grandmother. Nathan Crane, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Hey, Dr. Bob, thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Great. Give us some background on yourself and this whole world of emotional healing. Boy, we could talk about that all day. We all good luck to us.
You know, I discovered in the last 20 plus years in this work, working with thousands of people from all around the world, whether they're highly successful athletes or executives or entrepreneurs or people dealing with chronic stress or anxiety or chronic health conditions, that underneath a lot of what is driving our behaviors in our life that we would probably call destructive or damaging or contributing to our stress or anxiety or unhappiness or lack of success or lack of performance in sports, for example, are things that happened to us when we were younger and have stored as subconscious beliefs and limiting patterns that drive a lot of what we do and why we do it. So, you know, I'm no stranger to this. I went through a lot of trauma and challenges and homelessness and addiction and depression and anger and all kinds of things as a teenager. I was almost dead by 18 years old. And you know, by the grace of God, was given another chance to restart my life and moved to San Diego in 2005 and been on this journey ever since.
That magic word that we talk about a lot, the word is resilience. And where sometimes we see, whether it's in experts in all of these different fields, with my guests all over the world and so many different the physical and mental areas, again, where we see the ability to overcome all sorts of situations, many times are the greatest champions of some of these different topics. How would you, again, you know, the somatic emotional healing, what's your simple definition of that? Does it all go back to childhood? A lot of it is, it definitely includes it, doesn't it?
100%. And you actually find that a lot of what drives our behavior as adults to achieve and perform and drive for more and more success is what happened to us when we were 6 or 7 or 9 or 10 or 12 years old.
Now, if you throw in the divorce rate of 50%, and you deal, I remember growing up, I didn't know anybody whose parents were divorced. Now, all these years later, we see so many single parents and so many children who have gone through this type of trauma. Boy, that's got to contribute.
Yeah, I mean, my parents divorced when I was 12 years old. And at the time, as a 12-year-old, I didn't think it impacted me. But obviously, as I've done this work as a mental health practitioner for years, I look back and realize how much it actually impacted me. And there's a lot of these things that happen in our lives, whether it's neglect or it's shown love every time that you do achieve and you do perform. You know, I had a client recently who, she's in her 60s and very successful and very driven and very hardworking and yet very stressed and now dealing with chronic health challenges, who finally realized after doing a few sessions of somatic emotional healing through what I call the Awaken process, that everything, every decision that's been driving her life and contributing towards these actions, contributing both to her success and the physical, mental, emotional, stressful challenges that she experiences, happened because she was 6 years old. She was an athlete. She was pushed into gymnastics and she didn't want to do it, but she couldn't speak up. And she was shown love every time that she did well. So part of her wanted to keep going and be great at it. And she was. Another part of her felt resentful and angry and sad and locked up. And that's actually what drives most of our success. And so what I find is, especially with athletes that want to be more on their game, for example, or people that just want to be healthier or more fit or more successful in any area, when you do this kind of work, it's not that your drive goes away. It's that you're seeking achievement and you're seeking of happiness and you're seeking of love outside of yourself actually softens and reduces, and your drive still continues. Like, I'm just as driven as I've ever been, but I know that whatever I achieve and succeed will not bring me happiness. So I'm not doing it looking for happiness. I'm doing it from a deeper place of being already fulfilled.
Where do people go to find out about you and your work, Nathan? What's the website or information area?
Yeah, nathancrane.com is a great way to get in touch. And then also I'm on Instagram, Nathan Crane Official. You can follow me there.
Now, how do we find, again, with this explosion of all sorts of, you know, years ago, if you said someone's a coach, you thought of them on the sidelines, you know?
Sure.
Now you've got lifestyle coaches and mental coaches, and there's so much misinformation and other kinds of overloading. Yet at the same time, there's a tremendous new interest, again, and I call it all the mental game, whether I'm talking to psychologists, a psychiatrist. I had a Tao therapist from the Netherlands on 3 months ago, talking about 2,500-year-old rules like simplicity and compassion that meant as much today as it did, you know, 3,000 years ago.
Yeah.
How do you find like what you're doing in your work interacts with the medical world? You know, whether it's the psychologists or the psychiatrists or the general practitioners, how do you find that we're getting much more respect for a lot of these attitudes and programs like yours when we're mixing it in with the medical world?
It's a great question. So I'm the president of an organization called the Holistic Leadership Council, and these are many of the top functional medical doctors and
experts. That's the magic word, holistic.
Yeah, in the world. And many of these doctors have gone down the path of holistic or functional medicine because they recognize that it's not just biology and physiology. It's mental, emotional, spiritual. It's holistic. And so when they shifted gears and started incorporating things like emotional healing and somatic therapies and healing these, you know, root traumas and helping work with the mind in a different way, that they're actually getting
What's interesting, again, is, and I've been flirting with live radio for like 45 years, give or take a few weeks. You know, decades ago, alternative medicine was us against them, east against west. The word holistic, no one knew how to spell it years ago. But once it became complementary, I have to say my namesake, although no relative, Andrew Weil, all those years ago, they started including complementary. And that's allowed all of us in various areas of medicine to accept what everybody else, you know, was doing. And the word holistic, I think, also really, really contributed to that. It's like saying organized religion, good luck to you. But spirituality, everybody, nobody argues with it. And even in sports medicine, where I had an athlete 25 years ago, he had a hypnotist working with him. His team thought he was out of his mind. Right now, it's a very, very big deal. So the evolution's taken a long time, but it seems that you know, your work, those areas, have really become big news.
Yeah, it is big news, and you're spot on with that. And you know, the reality is, everything we're doing today that's actually effective stems from thousands of year old ancient wisdom and ancient medicine. I mean, TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, which is still used today and validated by thousands of scientific studies, you know, is thousands of years old. Ayurvedic medicine, which is more validated now today than ever by thousands of scientific studies.
Are they as old as the Tao? Who's older?
Yeah.
Who's the oldest? They all fall into a couple thousand years ago.
Arguably, Ayurvedic medicine goes back somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 years. So it's probably the oldest. It's hard to say for sure with how they measure these things, but you can say for sure that, you know, Taoism, which is linked to TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, which is similar in certain ways to Ayurveda, even though Ayurveda is from India, these other traditions are more from China.
Yes. Well, you know,
a lot of similarities, and they're all thousands of years old.
Yes, what's interesting is I've had a couple of guests on in the new area of sports pharmacy. No one knew what that was years ago. And the idea with the supplements and all of this new work being done in performance areas, hormones, et cetera. And again, you know, this information trying to contribute to a lot of these different mental challenges. And I'm sure in your world, you know, between the pandemic and social media, it's just exploded in the pressure in so many areas on so many individuals. Again, whether it's the parents of young, talented kids, whether it's the coach or whether it's the organization. You know, a frequent guest of mine is the team doctor of the Yankees, Dr. Chris Amata. I always ask him, how's those pressures with those million-dollar athletes, you know, and some of these other kinds of situations, as well as, you know, these traveling teams. And, you know, we deal a lot with youth sports. And again, the pressure many times is really, really off the walls. And what are some of the principles that you talk about? You're a documentary filmmaker. Do you deal with these topics, Nathan?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's very sad because right now our younger generations, we're seeing the highest rates of stress, anxiety, loneliness, depression, and suicide than we've ever seen before. And a lot of it is
social media.
it has to do with social media. It's this pressure of trying to be like the best that you see on social media, which is not realistic for people. It's not a realistic thing that you see. Everybody goes through struggles and challenges. So what do young people, as well as, you know, anybody at any age really need to focus on? Is what we need
Nathan, as we speak today, the French have decided to disallow social media with I think it's under 16 years old or under 15 years old.
Yeah, there's been a couple countries that have done that, which I think is a good, it's a good move in the right direction. Yeah. You know, as parents,
as a doctor,
obviously.
Yeah, you had to be accessible as a doctor. You had to carry a pager or have a phone as a doctor.
Yeah.
But when you have everybody and their uncle, not only has all sorts of entertainment, but is also accessible 24/7. I knew years ago when I had psychiatrists on the show, man, they would say, look out with all of this interaction. So we definitely want to talk more about that when we have you back. We're talking with Nathan Crane. And this very important area, this whole emotional healing, the mental game. It's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com.
You live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back with talking with Nathan Crane, the whole world of somatic emotional healing, his different programs. He is an author, he's a documentary filmmaker, and I was asking you about what have been some of the topics of documentaries that you've been involved with, Nathan?
You know, I've been really focused on chronic health conditions for last 15 years or so, specifically cancer, last 13, 15 years, and it's all related, whether you're an athlete or not, is that underneath all of what's happening to us, whether it's lack of energy or brain fog or poor sleep habits or the body not recovering as fast as it used to, or more chronic pain or joint issues or autoimmune disorders, right? All these things that show up, brain fog, neurodegeneration. Yeah. We were just talking offline about, you know, so many brain issues that people are going through. You know, in my documentary, specifically on cancer, we brought in some major experts and one of my colleagues, Dr. Bruce Lipton, specifically around the biology of belief and how, you know, we've all heard of the placebo effect, right?
Bingo. Yeah. You know,
the placebo effect is that you can,
placebo effect is 30% of medicine.
Yeah.
Placebo
just by thinking something.
Real.
Yeah. Yeah. Just by thinking something can help you. Very often
it does, the power of our thoughts, especially if you believe it. You have to believe it. Yes. And,
now, what most people haven't heard of is the nocebo effect. And the nocebo effect is just as you can believe yourself into health and performance and rejuvenation and all of these things, you can think yourself into sickness, failure, and disease. And the nocebo is just as effective, if not, you know, more effective at causing health conditions or challenges or limitations in your mind and body than the placebo effect.
Yes, and this is, again, the education and awareness side of all of this is so important, regardless of whether you're talking to the boardroom of business executives or in the locker room of the athletes, or we're in the societies of some of these youth sports. You know, 25 years ago, Little League woke up and said, holy cow, almost 40% of these kids aren't coming back. What's going on here? And then they realized, you know, the overzealous parents and the coaches and the winning and all this stuff, and decided to at least pay attention to, you know, is your son or daughter having a good time? The late, great sports psychologist, Jim Vickery, shared the radio with me in the 90s. He couldn't use the word psychology. It scared people. He was a performance enhancement consultant. But he had a couple of important words for parents, sports parents. And number one was don't be a critic. And the other one was be a good listener. You know, is your son or daughter dealing with an injury and they're scared to admit it because they won't play? So these are, the mental game. And I like, what was that term you used besides placebo? Nocebo?
Nocebo, yep.
That's a great term. We gotta spread that word because I agree with you 110%. But easier said than done. You know, again, when we're talking about all these areas and we talk about, mental training, the idea of whether it is people doing various visual, you know, my figure skaters 25 years ago were doing visualization and sports thought they were nuts in so many different ways. The world of meditation and setting time aside for the what do you call your systems?
So, well, I call my process the awaken process. But you just mentioned something really, really important called meditation. And
yes,
and over the years, you know, meditation has become so much more popularized, but it's also become misunderstood. Meditation, a lot of people think visualization or imagining, using imagination, those kinds of things are meditation. They're not really meditation. They're helpful. They help create things in your life, right? And so, yes, you can do those things. But real meditation is actually giving your mind and body a deep state of rest. And when you get into that deep meditative state, what happens is not only does your body then repair itself and your emotions, you know, get more harmonious and you have more peace and happiness in your life, but also it starts to awaken greater skill sets within you. It awakens, you know, intuitive
and
faculties.
You really can benefit in a 10-15 minute session daily, for example, of just trying to be, just trying to exist.
Absolutely.
The challenge has always been to shut your mind down. But again, it's a matter of education, so that people can realize that you can comfortably learn how to do meditation. You can, like you said, to try to rest and recovery is a big, big area. Knock on wood, finally, wouldn't you say, Nathan?
Rest and recovery is number one if you're an athlete, right? Because that's where you repair, that's where you grow, that's where you rejuvenate. I was a CrossFit athlete, training to be a professional CrossFit athlete for about 7 years. And because I loved what I did so much.
Yeah, talk about overkill. Right. Talk about overkill.
I was training five,
CrossFit.
6 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know, the 2 or 3 hours
we,
of work,
we had,
3 hours
you know what
a
we
night.
Would do? We would send people like you, Nathan, to someone like you, Nathan. Where
exactly.
We would try to
exactly.
get you to pay attention. I used to call it for years intelligent rest, which again was a big challenge because the more talented the kid, the more we would see this overuse. You know, the team doctor of the Yankees again said to me that 15 to 20% of Tommy John surgery is teenagers because overuse and, you know, 24/7 training. So, but I guess the perspective of, you know, you experiencing it again had an awful lot to do with you being an educator to pay attention to it.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I had these old childhood patterns and subconscious beliefs driving a lot of pushing myself to the extreme and to the max and to not listening to my body and then ending up with 5 tears in my left shoulder and knee tears and hip tears
right.
and bicep and all that stuff because I wasn't listening to my body because I was driven by these six, seven, eight, nine, 10-year-old beliefs and patterns from my childhood of sports. I played every sport growing up.
And the area, and the one of the biggest areas is the reliance on over-the-counter anti-inflammatories. And the I never knew a pro athlete over the years who didn't include marijuana as one of the ways to relax or reduce pain or help his sleep. But he got if he got caught, he'd be suspended. So instead, they gave him opioids.
right. And then they just get it. They get addicted, and it just makes everything worse.
It's horrible.
The liver. Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the thing.
Relying on drugs is the problem.
100%. So thankfully, and this would be a good tip for your listeners, is I was already in holistic medicine for such a long time that I use things like sauna and ice baths and red light therapy and pulsed electromagnetic frequency therapy. And I didn't use any opioids or any over-the-counter anything. I used diet and nutrition. I used natural anti-inflammatories like curcumin and boswellia and frankincense and black pepper and all these, natural things that, CBD without the THC that you can do to help your body recover. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to getting enough sleep, doing things like meditation, gentle breath work, and allowing your nervous system to get into a parasympathetic state so it can actually heal itself.
Yes. Well, that's where you heard it, like we had said, the new medicine. Number one, eat smarter. We'll talk all day about that. Pay big attention to you and what nutrition means. Number two, keep moving. You got a lot of choices. You want to do yoga? You want to do Pilates? You want to go to the gym? You want to be a runner? Great. Pick one, but just do it. But number three is what you really, and what we're talking about here is this mental game, which is whether it's to try to rest and relax or to live longer, better, et cetera. The mental game is a big, big deal, and it affects everything. And I guess this is one of the wake-up calls that you've been talking about for all these years as far as what a contributor this is to chronic pain, chronic problems. And you can't pick one, I guess, without more attention than something like dealing with the cancer world, like you're talking about in the documentary area, being an educator.
Yeah, exactly. And, I remember I had all this stuff. I got to a point in my shoulder, I couldn't even move it anymore, and it was going to have to take surgery. And I used this somatic emotional healing, and I tuned in, and I said, what's really going on here? And it said, look.
Well, you're on our roster, Nathan. You are on our roster. I knew this time would fly by with you, especially with some of the technical stuff at the beginning. If people go to NathanCrane.com, they could find out about you and all your programs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. All right, hold on. Everybody, thanks so much for dealing with the ABC's live radio. It's the Sports Doctor. Catch you next week. Thank you. Hold on.